Hey guys, welcome to my podcast. My prayer is that you are encouraged, transformed, and equipped through each episode. Blessings. Welcome everybody to the Patty Valenzuela podcast. I am so glad that you are joining me from wherever it is that you are watching us. We are so glad that you tune in and that you take the time to hear the word and apply it. And hopefully that this has been a blessing to each and every one of you. And if it has, I encourage everybody to please share the podcast with everybody that you know. And I know that it will truly be a blessing to each and every person. I want to talk to you today about how to prevent a failing God. And God gives us a scripture found in 1 Corinthians through the Apostle Paul. And he tells us how we cannot fail God. I'm sure and I'm certain that everybody that is watching and listening to me does not want to fail God. None of us want to fail God. Nobody wakes up in the morning and says, you know, I think I'll fail God today. And Paul tells us and he gives us references on how not to fail God. And we're going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I'm going to read it to you from verses 1 through 7 out of the Passion Translation. And the word of the Lord says through the Apostle Paul the following. My dear believers, you need to understand that all of our Jewish ancestors who walked through a wilderness long ago were under a glory cloud and passed through the waters of the sea on both sides. They were all baptized into the cloud of glory, into the fellowship of Moses, and into the sea. They all ate the same heavenly manna and drank from the same spiritual rock. That rock that traveled with them, and that rock was Christ himself. Yet God was not pleased with most of them. And it says God was not pleased with most of them. Watch this. And their dead bodies were scattered around in the wilderness. Now all these things serve as types and pictures for us, lessons that teach us not to fail in the same way. By callously craving worthless things and practicing idolatry, as some of them did. For it is written, the people settled in to their own unrestrained revelry with feasting and drinking. Then they rose up and became wildly out of control. Paul says something, and I'm going to land it in verse 6. And he says, now all these things serve as types, pictures for us. Lessons that teach us not to fail in the same way by callously craving worthless things and practicing idolatry. So what is Paul saying to us? How do we not fail God? And he said, these things serve as a picture. These things serve as a type of picture. They serve as lessons. He's saying, look at the Israelites when they walked through the Red Sea. Look at the Israelites and how they had this relationship with God that was at a distance. Look at the lessons that the Israelites lived by, or look at the example of Israel, because it serves as a picture for us. It serves as lessons for us. So when you look at the Old Testament, it says, Paul is telling us, it's like a picture that we ought to learn from. There are lessons that you and I have to learn from. And he tells us how we are not to fail God. And he tells us there in verse 6, the first thing, he says, do not fail God by callously craving worthless things. He says, be careful what you crave, because your cravings can actually lead you to failing God. Be careful with the desires that you have in your heart, because those desires and those passions can actually lead you to failing God. Take a moment right now and begin to take a self-evaluation. Evaluate self and begin to ask yourself, what are my desires? What are my cravings? We all have appetites. We all have spiritual appetites. We all have cravings. Some cravings are the cravings of the flesh, and some cravings are the cravings of the spirit. And Paul was saying, if we're not going to fail God, the way not to fail God is by keeping guard and by watching your cravings. Watch your appetite. Watch your desires. Let's take a good inventory look. What kind of desires do you have? What kind of appetites do you have? Just like you crave physical food, there ought to be a craving for the spiritual things. If your flesh has more craving than your spirit does, then you are on the road to failing God. Take a good inventory look at all of your appetites. What kind of appetites do you have? What kind of desires do you have? Do you desire what God desires? Or are there passions that are overcoming you? Appetites that you have that are from the flesh that are only going to lead you down a path that is going to disappoint God or fail God. So Paul says, look at the picture of Israel. They had cravings. They wanted a king at one time. God said, you don't need a king. I am your king. But they begged God and they said, no, we want our own king. They wanted a king when God said, I am your king. But they didn't listen to God. They had desires. They had cravings. And do you know why they wanted a natural king? Because they said, we want to be like everybody else. So the cravings that they had, the appetites that they had, actually led them to fail God. Our desires and our appetites lead us to either please God or to fail God. Check your appetites. Check your desires. They may not be horrific desires, but they could be those small desires that are going to lead you to eventually fail God. What kind of appetites do you have? Do you find that you have worldly appetites? Do you have worldly desires? Well, Paul was saying one way to not fall and fail God is to passion what God passions. Desire what God desires. Have you ever thought about your desires? What do you desire? Do you desire success more than you desire His presence? Do you desire money or earthly success more than you do pleasing God? What kind of appetites do you have? What kind of desires have you had? We've got to watch those desires. Here, the children of Israel, they had a desire to be a free nation. But that freedom that they had was a twisted and perverted desire, and it led them into idolatry. So Paul was saying, if you don't want to fail God, then one way not to fail God is to check always our appetites. Are they in alignment with the appetites of God? Are they in alignment with the passions of God? And if they're not, then what we have to do is we have to surrender them to God. And we have to say, God, I want to desire what you desire. I want to love what you love. Actually, that's even the foundation of the fear of God. When you fear God, you want to love what He's loving. You want to passion what He passions. When you have a desire that is twisted, it's corrupted, it's mixed, then there is no fear of God there. Check your life. Are your desires, are they more carnal? Are your passions more carnal than they are spiritual? It's time to evaluate our desires. It's time to ask God, God, I want to desire what you desire. I want to love what you love. See, somebody who's passionate for God is going to love what he loves, is going to passion what he passions. How are your desires? Notice every person that fails God, it didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen from one day to the next. It started with a wrong appetite. It started with a wrong passion, a passion that was not submitted to God, a desire that was not surrendered to God. See, that's how it leads us into failing God. And then the second thing that Paul says, he said, if we're not going to fail God, because we can fail him, he says in verse 6, we're going to fail him by callously craving worthless things. And then he uses the word callously. And that tells me that when your heart has been hardened, when your heart is hard, you begin to crave things that you ought to not crave. It's like a man craving somebody else's wife, or a wife craving somebody else's man. You know, wrong desires, a desire for a drink, a desire because I'm stressed out, let me have some wine. But that desire, not necessarily is going to take you to hell, but it could eventually lead you to failing God by opening the door to that little bit of wine. Listen, you need peace? God is Shalom God, the God that gives you peace. He ought to be our only fountain. That's number one. The second thing that Paul says is by practicing idolatry. He said, look at Israel, because it's a picture. It's a lesson for all of us. He said, they practice idolatry. What is idolatry? If I were to define it, idolatry is everything that we desire more than the presence of God. What do you desire more than the presence of God? Idolatry also means abandoning the way of God for another aim. Abandoning the ways of God for something else. You're aiming towards something else. See, idolatry is all about worship, because it's all about worship, and worship is all about desire. So they're all intertwined. Your desires, your appetites, your cravings has everything to do with worship, because worship is a matter of desires. Worship is a matter of desires. Tell me what you desire, and I'll tell you what you're worshiping. Tell me what you desire, and I'll tell you what you're bowing down to. And idolatry is everything that we are desiring that is more than the presence of God. Is there something that you desire truly, honestly, than the presence of God? Is there something that you desire, that you have an appetite for, that you are going after, that it is your aim more than the presence of God? And if you can say, yeah, it's been my job. Yeah, it's been my career. Yeah, it's been a relationship. Yeah, it's been this situation. You can even worship your own pain. Your idolatry can even be a problem. Idolatry can even be a pain that you keep bowing down to. What do you desire? What are you bowing down to? What are you abandoning the way of God to reach and attain? What is that thing that you desire more than the presence of God? What does your soul desire? Your mind, your will, and your emotions. What do you desire the most? Ask yourself that question. You know, not religiously, not quickly, not abruptly, but ask yourself that question. What do I desire the most? And if the presence of God is not the first thing that comes out of your mouth, not religiously, not because of a hard day that you have and now you need the presence of God. I'm talking about every day, whether you are up on a mountaintop or in a valley, what do you desire every day? And that will tell you if you are failing God. Paul tells us how we fail God. We fail him by craving callously the wrong desires. We fail God because we have idolatry and we allow idolatry into our hearts. You know, the Bible says it like this in Proverbs 27:20. He says, human desire is never satisfied. That's what Proverbs 27:20 says. Human desires will never be satisfied. Meaning you can have a desire right now. Well, I want money. I want a house. And it says in Proverbs 27:20, it says that human desires will never be satisfied. What does that mean? That it's never enough. That after you have money, you're going to want more money. That after you have that house, you're going to want another house. That after you've got that car, you're going to want another car. Human desires are never satisfied. Always wanting more and yet never feeling like you attained and achieved. There's always something more. That's why God hates idolatry. It takes his place and it's never enough. But I know one that is enough. He's called the God that is more than enough. And he ought to be our only God. He ought to be our greatest desire. He ought to be the only God in our lives that we desire. His presence ought to be our greatest appetite, our greatest desire for. Paul tells us, you're going to fail. And the way you're going to fail, let me tell you how. Through your appetites, through your desires, by callously desiring something that is going to put you away from the presence of God. Desires that are contrary to the desires of God. Number two, through idolatry. It's going to lead you astray. You know the root of idolatry is dissatisfaction. Dissatisfaction is the reason why people run to idolatry. This dissatisfaction is you're not satisfied. So really, idolatry and passions and desires go hand in hand. Because worship is a matter of desires. Tell me what you desire and I'll tell you what you worship. And idolatry is everything that you desire more than the presence of God. So idolatry is really a dissatisfaction. That's what takes us to idolatry. You're dissatisfied. You want more. You're not satisfied. But human desire is never going to be enough. There's always going to be something else. And you know what the root and what dissatisfaction is? Dissatisfaction is nothing more than the symptom of orphanhood. When you have not received the spirit of adoption that cries out Abba and Father. When Father God, God a daddy, when he's not enough, then you're dissatisfied. And you're going to look for another fountain to drink from. But the Bible says there's only one fountain. And then there Paul tells us that they drank from the rock. God gave them a rock to drink from. You know, they would strike the rock and water would come out in the wilderness, and Israel had access to water. And then it says there, Paul tells us in Corinthians that Jesus Christ is the rock. He's our only fountain. He's what satisfies us. The way we're going to fail God is when we feel dissatisfied. Listen, you're in dangerous ground when you feel like God is not enough. You're in dangerous ground when you feel dissatisfied by, well, I have God, but I still feel dissatisfied. There's a problem there. That means that you've got a symptom of orphanhood. You feel like an orphan. You have not received and attained the spirit of adoption. Listen, when you are a daughter and when you are a son and you have received the spirit of adoption that cries out, Abba, you are satisfied. You don't need anything else. And although he's a good God and he's provider and he's healer and he gives good gifts to his children, listen, but you're satisfied regardless. And Paul is telling us how we are going to fall is through idolatry and through our desires. We can idolize our own pain, your own opinion. Stubbornness is really, the Bible says, like that of idolatry. Is there any stubbornness in your life? Are you stubborn in changing? Are you stubborn in your ways? Are you just stubborn, hard-headed and stubborn? That means that you have idolatry, that your ideas are more important than God's, that your ideas are above God's. That's what you're saying. So what you're doing is you're idolizing your own ideas. And the Bible says stubbornness is like that of idolatry, rebellion like that of witchcraft. Paul tells us. And then the third thing he says how you're going to fail God is by complaining. They complained. Israel was a picture. Israel is a picture and a lesson for us. They complained, you know, 3 days before, they are so excited. God has just taken them out of the wilderness or Egypt, and they're now headed into their promised land. And God has released them from captivity of 400 plus years. They've been in captivity and God releases them. And you know, 3 days later, they are complaining. 3 days. That's all it took. 3 days. All because they didn't have any water. All because they wanted meat. All because they were constantly complaining. Complaining takes you to fail God. I'm going to pray for you. And I pray that this podcast would enlighten you. And if there's any of those areas in your life that need to be aligned, that need to be submitted or surrendered to God, I pray today's the day that you're going to do that. So I'm going to pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for your people today. And I pray, Father, that they will not be a people that will fail you. I pray that we will learn from Israel and they will be a picture, God, where we can model and we will never fall, Father, into idolatry. Father, if anybody's watching me that has a spirit of idolatry, any form of idolatry, Father, they have cravings and appetites that have not been surrendered to you. They've been complaining, murmuring, grumbling, that today's the day that the veil falls off their eyes and that they begin to see, Father, that you are a good God and you are the only fountain. And Father, we uproot every spirit of dissatisfaction, God, that has come in to take ground because of the lack of adoption. Father, today I pray, God, that the spirit of adoption fall upon them. Father, I pray that they have relationship with you, that they love you, they serve you, and that they desire what you desire for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I love you guys. I pray this podcast was a blessing. Don't forget to subscribe to my YouTube channel. Don't forget to purchase my books. I know that they will be a blessing for each and every one of you. Now, if you want to see all of our preachings in its entirety, you can go to Ignite Movement, and we have there a YouTube channel. You can go there, subscribe. We also have an incredible intercession school that I'd like to encourage you guys to sign up. Maybe you already have, or maybe you haven't done so. There's still a chance for you to do so. You can actually go to my website at our website at www.ignitemovement.org. www.ignitemovement.org. And there you'll hit the tab, and it's Intercession School. And you can follow all the instructions there. And I pray that you will become a student in these times. We love you. And again, till next time, blessings.
Hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you would like more content, a link to all of our social media will be provided in the description. And as always, subscribe and hit the notification button to get new uploads. And be sure to like and share. Until next time.